arms and legs inside the descent module at all times. You are now 600 feet below the surface of Science District Sector 5. This installation is fully shielded from EMP and nuclear pulse blast. Welcome to Sector 5 Master Control. And have a nice day.
Moira, thank you very much. And hello, Salt Lake City, and welcome to the world of Sector 5 Radio, everybody. Once again, I sit before you, totally amazed that K-Talk has allowed us to return yet again. I am Mr. Dickie Shannon, Chief of Security and all-around kind of handsome, tanned, and occasionally even-tempered. I have an orc hidden deep inside me somewhere. I know that. I'm sorry, and I apologize every Saturday before we start the show. How about the fearless troop of Sector 5 crazies here again, like Spacey Dave is here, Ghost Girl Michelle is here, Comic Book John, and last but not least, of course, we have, at least most of the time, he's normal. not too much out of line, Captain Proton! Woo-hoo! Wow, what a week it's been, and I've got a boatload of Geekorama later in the show as Dave. John and the latest paranormal reporting from Ghost Girl on duty at the EVP machine Friday night. Can't wait to hear about that. So without further ado, let's not waste any more time. And put your hands together. I want you to feel the burn of Sector 5 Radio tonight. Welcome to Saturday, everybody.
When I was a young boy,
that, getting things started tonight, John Mellencamp, and you're listening to another randomly cool edition of Sector 5 Radio, all things supernatural, paranormal, alien activity, unexplained phenomena. How fast can I read this? Take a breath. Thank you. Sci-fi, fantasy, books, movies, authors, geek gadgets, and other sort of goofy stuff that we like to talk about. And tonight on Sector 5, our first guest is, I don't know how I can tell you all this, but he's not only the author of the hit series Iron Dragon, The Golden Cord, and Dragon Hunters so far, but he's an all-state athlete, summa cum laude graduate, and works all night saving lives as a charge nurse at the cardiac telemetry unit of Intermountain Healthcare. That's all I can say about this. He does all that, and I'm just trying to get my butt out of bed after 6 hours. Yeah. That's our guy, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Ginnas, everybody. Hello, Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Thank you, Dickie. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Well, you know, it's exciting to have you here. I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear Paul. He was one of you actually one of the first people, I think, that we had on when we were on a conduit back at the end of May.
That's
right. Yeah. And it was really exciting because you're talking all about your current hit, the Dragon Series stuff. But you know what? There's so much more because this time we were kind of holding you back for like, 7-8 minutes of an interview on Saturday night that night. But now you're the star of the show. Come on, let's hear it, Captain Rodney. Star of the show.
He's the star. Yes, star.
I think of myself more as a nebula, really.
An entire nebula.
Yeah, nebulous, really.
Okay, that's great.
Nebulous, nebulae. Nebulorum.
All righty. Okay. Well, you know what? People love hearing authors. Larry was on. Was it last week Larry was on?
Larry was on last week. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. I listened to the show. Good show.
Yeah, I'm losing track.
That was actually 2 weeks ago. But
was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's actually 2 weeks. Because
what happened last week?
We had Mercure Publishing, I think.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
We had Mercure Publishing. We had a lot of really fun things.
That's true.
You have to go look in the RSS feed.
That's true. You know, I got to ask Paul, you guys, you're going to like Paul because imagine that, really, truly, cardiac nurse saves lives. He's done all this really cool stuff. I don't understand. What kind of sports did you play? Because you're a thin, wiry guy. So how did you... what did you do?
I'm sitting back at 5'5", 135.
Wow,
I was pretty much the tallest kid on the basketball team.
WWF.
That's right. I was the point guard on the basketball team.
Oh, were you? Okay, all right. But now, you were, in Nevada?
Nevada, small school. You know, practically anybody. A three-legged dog could make the team, so... They let me
I
play.
I have one. That's funny. Funny you should mention
he
that.
He actually does, folks.
I do have a three-legged dog.
My best sports were running, track, and cross-country.
Okay, I get that. That's cool. I can see how you might do that. I don't know how you do that because I don't ever remember running that fast. Captain Proton, look at him. I mean, he's always
I'm what you can get if you go to Burger King three times a day.
Yeah.
And you can have this masculine.
You are the picture next to obesity in America.
No, it's Percy Jackson, Lightning Thief, you know, pictures of Zeus.
No.
That's what I'm not. But
no, that's, you're not that. Okay, so let's get back to Paul. He's our guest tonight. Come on. So all these things that you do, and you do, you teach, right?
I teach writing to young people. I like to go to the schools.
Yeah.
Teach the 5th and 6th graders are my favorite, but I'll teach older, sometimes younger kids.
Yeah, okay. You know, Spacey Dave wants to be a writer.
Yes, he does.
Do you think you could actually help him?
Well, I've had a couple of conversations with him so far, and no, I'm just kidding. No, there's hope for anybody. If you stick to it long enough and you dedicate yourself and you go down that road for like 8 years.
Right.
You know, you can get published. You can make a professional sale.
8 years. I think I'm too old for that now.
No. Sure, actually, he's got a movie script. Don't let him kid you.
I have several movie scripts.
Yes, and don't let him kid you. And we've had Larry Correa, who's having $100 million movie.
We keep pushing that too. We figure one time, you know, a big time producer is going to pull into town, and Jerry Bruckheimer is going to be listening. He's going, "Okay, Dick, send him that script."
You told me to set up the end for him. And
okay,
play if there's a God.
So let's we have to take these things in order. Let's talk about the Iron Dragon series. Golden Cord Dragon Hunters are out, and you can read a whole bunch of chapters if you go to your website, right?
Yeah, the Golden Cord's book one of the Iron Dragon series, and it turned out to be the best-selling book that my publisher's ever had.
That's great.
It's done really well. It's like in its 6th or 8th printing. I kind of lost track. So it's doing well.
Yeah.
It's a 5-book series, and I've written all 5 books. Book 3 is called The Secret Empire, and it's not out yet. The Secret Empire.
Just like the child. Okay, so let's set it up for everybody. Give everybody the idea, you know, what's your hero trying to do here?
Right, so the Hollywood pitch is something like this. Here it is. The Golden Cord. Some bonds can never be broken. A hunter must leave behind the woman he loves.
The woman he loves.
Give up all hope of survival. As he's forced to guide his most hated enemies on a suicidal journey to the lair of the Dragon King.
I'm sorry, it's sound effects. We have cheap budget sound effects here at Sector 5.
That was more like a bird more than a dragon.
More like a
dying bird. There you go.
Okay, all right. So that sounds like an exciting series. How many books in the series now, did you say?
There's 5.
5 in the series, okay. Well, it sounds like fun. Is it going to have a happy ending?
For most of the characters. Yeah,
sorry.
For most of
some
the
people die.
There's well, okay, we expect that, don't we?
Let me change that. For some of the characters.
Okay.
For fewer.
Most might be the wrong word.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody told me you were inspired by the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Is that a fact?
It's definitely a fact. When I was a little kid, my mother's boyfriend, the horror, I know,
That's a whole other topic.
I know.
We're in Utah, by the way. This is a family show.
Right.
Okay, so mom's boyfriend.
Dad was out of the picture. There was a boyfriend.
Yeah,
He was into Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and he talked to me about it when I was this little kid, and then they got me this shirt when I was like 4
cool.
or 5 years old that said Little Bilbo on it. And put this little stupid yellow shirt on me that you could like fit on a very small dog at this point. I still have the shirt.
That's
or my
great.
Mom has the shirt, actually.
And he could still wear it. No, just kidding.
See, on my arm.
He's that skinny, folks. He
right?
really is.
He's a cardiac nurse. Don't let anybody fool you.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Okay, so
I
you
need
got,
to eat more.
So you got it. Oh, well, just hang around with Captain Proton here. You, no problem.
We have a pizza contest on October 23rd.
we got one coming up. Okay, so you love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I finally saw the Hobbit cartoon when I was 5 years old.
Sure.
And it's on TV. It's on network TV. I have this vivid memory.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm really into it. And there's little hobbits and dwarves running around. And then they get to the Misty Mountains and the goblins come out of the cave and chase them. You know, they call them goblins or orcs. And I remember being so terrified that I climbed under the couch cushions and hid from the goblins. And then ask Mom, are they gone yet? And she's like, oh, yeah, they're gone, huh? And then I stick my head up, and they're totally not gone.
Oh, no.
So scared me. I had to go back on my couch.
Poor thing. Yeah. It probably warped you for life. Made you a writer.
That's what did it. It was that. And then later, fourth grade really was that was when I could actually read the book.
Yeah.
So I just the cartoon. Yeah. Fourth grade, I read it back to back to back like three times in a row in fourth grade.
Cool.
The Hobbit. And then sixth grade, I read Lord of the Rings, and I was gone after that. I was totally hooked. And then came like Terry Brooks and Stephen R. Donaldson. Yeah. Way too young. I read Stephen R. Donaldson's books. But anyway, the Thomas Covenant series.
I got to ask you this. You know, we're going to do a little segment, you guys. If you are, you know, a wannabe writer, you've been writing things, short stories, trying to get published, whatever. We're going to do a segment with Paul because he teaches this kind of stuff and he helps people along. And you know what? There's a lot of psychology to it. I know that. Because you got to really keep yourself psyched up. It's a tough world out there. You got to stay psyched up. You can't give up, and I know that. We'll get to that later too. But let's go back to you know, stuff that you read, stuff that's inspired you. And I know you're working on something. You went to Greece. Is it because of the pantheon of the gods or something? Is that why you visited Greece?
I decided that I needed to actually go to Greece and really stand on the gravel beaches and visit the islands and see what it was really like. And, you know, I talk about Greece in seminars sometimes. You know, the whole geography is destiny. You know, you study the topography of Greece, and it's pretty easy to understand why there were the Spartan state and, you know, the Athenians and on and on. It's pretty easy to get it when you're there, and you can see the mountain passes. And, you know, it was really amazing. And I did it for research for a novel, which is a novel called Medusa's Daughter.
Ooh.
Which is, it's a love story set in ancient Greece. And it's very dark.
Oh, really?
It's very dark. And it's about, I was inspired a little bit by Mary Renault, who wrote The King Must Die and The Last of the Wine. She writes these historical novels set in ancient Greece. Mine, well, it has a little bit of magic in it, and it's before Mary Renault. She wrote fairly contemporary. Beyond about 700 BC, we don't really have much except for linear B scripts on little pots here or there. Mm-hmm. So we don't know a whole lot. So I'm writing pre-Trojan War. So, which is where the Medusa myth
started. Well, you said
started.
It's a love story, but is there like a little sword and sandal action
kind
of thing going on?
Big time.
Yeah? Okay.
A big time. I like the main idea is that Medusa, in the original myth, Medusa is supposedly raped by Poseidon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's raped by Poseidon, and also she's accused of comparing her beauty to Athena, of which she was a priestess of Athena, as were her two sisters.
Okay. You get slapped for that, Haley. Don't you?
She totally got slapped down for this. So, of course, you blame the victim, right? Put the woman in, you know, exile and curse her, give her the Gorgon's curse. So, and the myth has changed over the years, and probably most people think that the Clash of the Titans movie that came out in the 80s is actually the myth, which is totally not.
Yeah.
In the original myth, Medusa was a beautiful woman. Oh. She wasn't this disgusting figure, but nobody could look at her. Because they would turn to stone, because it was her curse. She loved men looking at her.
I got it. Okay. It wasn't about having little snakes all over your head.
That came later.
That was added in there. Okay. Paul Janess is our guest tonight. He is the author of the Iron Dragon series. And we're talking about writing. We're going to do some advice for authors here later on, too. We're also going to find out about his work as a cardiac nurse. And he works with folks with dyslexia, too. This guy never rests. Ladies and gentlemen, Sector 5 Radio on AM 630 KTalk, ktalk-.com. Thanks for listening wherever you are tonight.
Play Utah's best golf courses and save up to 60% off golf every time you play. That's right, save up to 60% off every time you tee it up on Utah's best golf courses. VIP Golf USA is Utah's best way to play and golf for less, even on weekends and holidays. Call VIP Golf USA at 888-784-7465. That's 888-784-7465. Or look them up on the web at VIPGolfUSA.com. Join VIP Golf USA and save every time you play.
Commencing Operation Little Princess.
Operation Little Princess?
Yes, Dex. Our 16-year-old daughter is going on her first date.
With that 17-year-old ruffian.
Well, so are we, Dex. We're tailing him.
I see.
And since we don't want them to see us, we'll need to rent a car.
I know three places in your zip code, and now DexKnows.com can even search by neighborhood.
And we should probably get a pair of binoculars to watch our baby's every move.
No problem. I know five sporting goods stores in your city, and all things sports on Jefferson is new to the neighborhood.
What if we get lost?
No worries. Because now I'm on your mobile phone, which means you can find local businesses, get directions, even maps wherever you are.
Great, Dex, but what if, heaven forbid, they actually end up liking each other?
My Wedding Section. It has photographers, caterers, dress stores, and anything else you'd need to plan your daughter's special day.
Actually, I was thinking boarding school, a far, far away boarding school.
Or you can do that.
Dexknows.com. Smarter than your average search. More exact, more detailed, a lot more local. And now it's on your mobile device. Dexknows.com.
These are the facts. The economy can get much worse. And instead of being a benefit, our state government is part of the problem. I have real solutions. My no-cost gold investment plan has the potential to make us billions of dollars. Let's decrease the size of our government and bravely face our future. I'm Richard Martin, Republican candidate for governor. Delegates, I seek your vote.
Paid for by the Richard Martin for Governor campaign.
So why am I here? I'm here to tell you that you just gotta listen.
And now we rejoin Sector 5.
Summertime, and boy, was it a hot day or what here in Salt Lake City today. Hi, welcome back to Sector 5 Radio, AM 630 KTalk and KTalk-.com. Anywhere in the world, take us with you. No matter where you go, we appreciate you tuning in. All right, 9:20 now with Dickie Shannon. Welcome to Saturday night, and welcome Paul Jeunesse here, author extraordinaire, but he does a lot of other stuff, and we want to get it all in this hour. It's going to be, we're kind of squeeze it all in. There's a lot to learn, a lot to know about Paul. He's a multifaceted personality. And I mean that seriously. Far more than Captain Proton, even though
Wait, they told me that I had many personalities.
No.
That's multiple personalities.
That's multiple. Yeah, just gonna go. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for saying that. Okay, tell us about this. This thing, you graduated summa cum laude, and it had to do with your cardiac training. You're a cardiac nurse, right?
Yes.
Okay, explain that to everybody. What exactly do you do at Intermountain?
Well, I work at Intermountain Medical Center in Murray, which is in Salt Lake City. It's the big, huge hospital in the center of the valley.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the best hospitals in the entire country.
It's beautiful. Yep.
And, you know, companies from all over the world come to study it. And, you know, the White House has sent people there to check it out, mentioned it in major speeches because Intermountain Healthcare does it really well. And the reason that I moved to Utah mm-hmm. was to mm-hmm. work for Intermountain Healthcare, which is a not-for-profit healthcare organization. And, you know, I don't want to get political on this show, but I do believe that healthcare should be not for profit. I believe that profiting on people's suffering is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a president named Nixon who changed the law so that healthcare could be for profit. And I think that's the beginning of the downward spiral.
That was the HMO start, wasn't it?
Exactly. HMO. There was this friend of his in California named Kaiser who helped him with his campaigns, and it was their idea.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, Intermountain Healthcare, it's great because I work at this little floor called CVU3, and right now it's actually the highest rated floor in all of Intermountain Healthcare as far as patient quality. So we do surveys.
That's
The patients love it. For me, it's like working for the championship team.
That's cool.
I've been there for almost 14 years, and I just don't want to leave.
That's cool.
I love it. The people I work with are like my family, and I feel like I'm doing important stuff and helping save lives. And, you know, writing books is great and fun and all.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to get out of being a nurse. I feel like it's an important thing. And I could have gone to med school, whatever, done all that stuff. But, you know, they just changed the interns' hours so that they only have to work 110 hours a week. You know,
only 110.
Only.
That's
it. You know, sometimes it's 80. Sometimes it's 80.
Oh, man, what a deal.
You know, so I didn't want that lifestyle. So I have three shifts a week. I work about 13-hour shifts,
okay.
You know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays. Okay. I work at night. I choose to be a night shift guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How do you keep up with all your writings and you do book tours and you're helping people, you're teaching classes? How do you do all this stuff, man? I don't get it.
I don't know, and I've gone through phases where I burn out and I can't handle it all. Yeah. But you know, I do my best, and when I'm the type of person who gets energized when I'm around people. So going and meeting with the kids and talking to them at their school, right, it gets me excited about life.
And your wife is a saint.
My wife is a saint.
I mean, she must be a saint too. You know, all this stuff you do.
She totally is. She puts up with me, and she lets me do my thing, and she's very, very supportive. You know, and I dedicated the first book to her, and I'm sure there'll be many more books dedicated to her, you know, over the years.
And you know what? Iron Dragon series is the latest big series from Paul Jeunesse. The Golden Cord, The Dragon Hunters, the first two. And number three is what? What's the name of
it? The Secret Empire.
Oh, that's right. I don't write that out. Secret Empire.
It's not out yet. Okay. We're still waiting for a release date from the publisher. But the book is mostly written. I'm rewriting like the last quarter of it.
All right. So, okay. All right.
Yeah. What was it? Just not perfect enough
you
for
to punch
you?
It up.
I wrote the series a long time ago, and you know, you put something away.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go back to it, and generally you hate it.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's horrible because you know, years go by, and you know, you hopefully you become a better writer, and that's how I was. So now I look at my old work, and I like the story, I like the characters, I like kind of what happens, but I hate the execution. It's awful. It makes me sick just to look at it.
Well, it's a craft. We know this is writing is a craft. I mean, it's based on creativity, but it's still a craft because of all the technique involved. So that's what happens. You get, you know, folks like you who just start writing books and you end up with here's 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, whatever. It, you know, unless you're really kind of dumb, you probably, no offense to anybody, you're going to get better.
Yeah, you better get better. And hopefully the last book that you wrote was the best thing that you wrote. And I feel like that for me. Yeah. You know, book one, I feel like it's good, but I learned a lot after that. You know, and book two I think is a lot better. But someone once said, I don't know who said this quote, but and I'm not saying that my novels are you know, a work of great fiction or great art, but the quote is something like this: great art is never finished, it's abandoned.
Ooh, I like that. Abandoned. That's a cool line. I like that.
It's totally true.
That's like very Van Gogh.
All the painters, not all the painters. Many of the painters say that.
Yeah.
You know, they just finally get so sick of it, they can't do it anymore. And it's the same thing with writing. You know, when the editor pries the manuscript out of my fingers, you know, it's
cold,
done.
Cold, dead hands.
Exactly.
to paraphrase,
there's a point where you just say, you kill it. You just kill it and give it to the editor to tear up your story.
Well, you can overwrite, and you can overedit, and you can ruin it, you know, by keeping going at it and stuff like that, you know. But for me, I'm a perfectionist, you know, details, and I want things to be just so. And I look back at book one, and now all I see are flaws. And, you know, the next edition, the ebook edition, I'm going to fix a few little things and smooth a few little things out.
Well, let's ask you about that, because I love asking authors about stuff like ebooks. I love asking authors what they think about digital libraries and the actual binded book disappearing. How do you feel about that? I mean, you know, there are people like me. I have nothing against like the ebook readers and stuff.
Yeah.
But there are people like me. I love to open that, like, the smell of the book, the feel of the book, you open it up. That's different than looking at an electronic, you know. What do you
I
think?
I wonder, can our readers, can they hear that?
Yeah, the pages.
You know, those pages turning and you sniff it, you know, and you touch it, and you feel the cover, and you look at the beautiful art in your hand, and it shines in the light, and you can hold it, you know, and there's something in your hand.
Precious?
My precious. And they stole it from us. No.
Yeah, but I feel the same way.
It's a tactile experience.
Because of where I come from, in the age, the analog age I come from, I feel the same way about vinyl records. I mean, everything's digital now, so it's locked inside some electronic vault. You don't actually get to really hold it. You don't see the record label.
Right.
I mean, it used to be, record labels used to be cool. Hey, for all you guys who, like, people went from 45s were the big 60s thing, 50s and 60s, until the Beatles, of course. Beatle albums were huge, Stones albums, stuff like that. Then in the 70s, it became the age of the album artist, like Boston. Remember those album covers for, like, Boston and all those groups of the 70s? Styx.
Styx has a lot of artwork. Laser stuff and whatever. And
very
the
cool
Who
artwork.
And everybody else.
Yeah, now all that's gone. You go buy a CD of it, and you see the cover, and it's about, you know, 3 inches wide. I mean, if you buy a CD, and people are buying digital now, you never actually see it. I mean, you could see it, I guess, on your, you know, iPad or, you know, iPhone or whatever, but it's a little tiny picture.
And pray to God that your hard drive does not crash and you didn't back it up because all your music collection is gone.
Bye-bye.
And same with your books. And I think that e-books are a new cool thing, and it gives people the ability to read the book on their phone or on their laptop or whatever, on their Nook or their Kindle or their iPad or whatever, and that's fantastic. And I want that to continue to be true, but until we totally go over to ebooks for kids in school and generations grow up just with ebooks because, you know, we've killed the last tree and there's none left. Until this happens, the books are going to be out there, and they are just a giant slice of the market. The ebook market is very, very small at this point. And it's growing with the popularity of the iPad, but it's still very small. So for me, I want the books. Maybe someday I'll go with ebooks, but it's not yet for me.
A geeky thing to say at this point would be that the number one thing transacted from marketing studies, which is really boring to our audience, is
thanks for bringing that up.
It's a ratings killer, but it's books. People, they give their books. Like somebody gives a book to somebody, after they've consumed that book, they'll give it to their friends. And signed or not, from Larry Correa, which was almost painful, I handed it to somebody, and she's totally reading it. And she likes Twilight. Now she's seeing this light. She's seeing the light. So there's that part. And you know.
Wait a second. You're not writing about any vampires, are you?
Negative.
All right.
There are no vampires.
Are there anybody wearing makeup heavily or biting pillows in your...
Okay, there's a couple of sluts. I got to be honest. No.
What page is that on?
I'll send that scene to you. Don't worry.
All right. I'm sure we'll find out more about that. Paul Jeunesse is our guest tonight and the Iron Dragon series. The Golden Cord, the Dragon Hunters. We're going to find out more about Paul. And we're going to find out about his secret lair. Yeah, he has a fortress of solitude. It's true. You're on Sector 5 Radio tonight. I am Dickie Shannon. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday, the 10th of July, AM 630 KTALK, KTALK-.com. Tell your friends and go to Facebook, too. Sector 5 Facebook. We see you there, okay?
Buck Wild Mechanical Bulls here, and we want to give your party some kick. We want to challenge your guests to ride a full-size, genuine mechanical bull. We buck them and chuck them at any age and any experience level. Riding a mechanical bull is an opportunity no one can pass up. We control the bull so we can take you slow and easy or rock the spurs right off your boots. Our 16 by 16 foot landing pad and experienced operators make the ride as safe as possible, complete with a PA system to announce riders and entertain crowds. We have the darndest hooting and hollering setup in town. At Buck Wild Mechanical Bulls, we entertain everything from company parties to good old church gatherings. We guarantee to have the lowest rates and most energetic crew in the state. We know any reason's a good reason to have a mechanical bull. So call us today at 359-0440, and we'll make a believer out of you. Remember, that number is 359-0440. Buckwild Mechanical Bulls. Give your party some kick. 359-0440.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Have you ever wanted to learn real Chinese Kung Fu? Then welcome to the world of the Kung Fu Masters at Monkwise Martial Arts Academy, Salt Lake's premier Kung Fu training centers. With over 30 years combined experience, Adam Woolsey and his expert staff are Salt Lake's only martial arts academy that focuses on real Chinese Kung Fu, just like you've seen in the new Karate Kid movie. This Saturday is the grand opening of the newest Monkwise, 8576 South Redwood Road in West Jordan, behind the Amore Animal Hospital. The new Monkwise has nearly 3,000 square feet of training space, more than enough room to teach Chinese Kung Fu, along with Tai Chi, fitness programs, and a wide array of weapons, including broadswords, spears, staff, chain whips, and more. Learn from the Chinese Kung Fu Masters at Monkwise. Their grand opening is this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Traditional lion dance at 12:30. Monkwise, 8576 South Redwood Road. Real Chinese Kung Fu. 877-722-3947. 877-722-3947. Monkwise.
Aceon & Associates is the law firm for all your business and contractual needs. Whether it be securities fraud, real estate problems, a breach of contract, or just a bad handshake deal, our goal is to provide you with the peace of mind and confidence you deserve. Don't compromise your legal rights or financial future. Get the facts. Call Aceon & Associates for a free consultation. 801-854-1200. 801-854-1200. That's 801-854-1200.
It's time now to return to Sector 5 with Chief Security Officer Dickie Shannon.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Alrighty, that's that's good enough to get back into the next segment here tonight on Sector 5 Radio. I am Dickie Shannon, your chief of security, here with Paul Jeunesse and all the Sector 5 team tonight, including Spacey Day, Michelle Ghost Girl's doing a report later on tonight about her latest. Did she go to Ogden? Is that where she went?
Train Station.
Okay.
Union Station is what it's called on 25th Street.
Union Station, okay. So she went up there. We're going to get a report on that. Also, Comic Book John will be in a little later on tonight. And that's kind of like why I put up Spider-Man, so we can get back into Paul Jeunesse tonight and talk about his Fortress of Solitude, ladies and gentlemen. He lives in his basement where he has a zillion-dollar art collection. No, okay. I just
the
made
address
that part
is 14555.
No, we just made. No, what's the deal? You're into. Is it fantasy art that you're into?
I'm into fantasy art.
Yeah.
I started going to conventions when I was a teenager. I went to a couple with the family, and then when I got older, I started going back. And then I had the green stuff in my wallet, and I walk into the art show, and there's these amazing, paintings of dragons and heroes castles and all this just totally amazing, awesome stuff. And I look at a piece of art, and it just gets my brain going a million miles an hour. I see the castle, and I'm just thinking of a story. And I see the dragon, and I'm thinking of a story.
That's great.
And so I started buying stuff.
And tell me, on the Iron Dragon series, those are pretty cool dragons you got on there. Who did the artwork on the book?
Well,
the book covers?
The publisher went with my suggestion and got this world-famous fantasy artist named Ciruelo Cabral. It's a hard name. He goes by Ciruelo.
Okay.
But see, you've all seen his art if you go to Barnes & Noble every year because he has the dragon's calendars that you've seen every
year. That's his stuff? The dragon calendar?
Yeah, that's his stuff.
Really? Oh, cool.
So he's just fantastic, and I've met him a few times, and I saw his art, and his tone, it's beautiful art. It's definitely world-class art. Yeah, it's helped the sales of the books.
Yeah, the jackets are beautiful. I love them. And about a couple of other guys, we were kind of kicking some of the names around. Boris
Vallejo and Frank Frazetta. Frank Frazetta is considered the master of modern fantasy art.
Uh-huh.
He became really famous in the 60s, well, even in the 50s, but 60s and 70s, doing like Conan covers and Call the Conqueror. There's always a really hot chick and this really guy with huge, biceps and a sword.
A giant sword, and she's clasping her arms around his leg.
Exactly. And they found out that as long as they had the cover, it didn't matter what was in the book, because people would just buy it. And famously, he got paid more than the authors did.
Oh, get out. Really?
Totally, for a lot of these. Not the whole time, but after he was established. So following in his footsteps were Boris Vallejo and people like Michael Whalen, who is like amazing.
Oh, I know that name.
Amazing fantasy artist.
Yeah.
So people like that just inspired me, and I started collecting prints of their art. So actually, I don't have an expensive
original stuff.
Oh, I have a few, not much. Not much at all, honestly. Because I could drop, five or 6,000 on an original. Or I can spend $60 on a print.
Wow.
Oh, it can be a lot more. I mean, that's cheap.
20 grand could be for Blair. It's not. I have a car collection that's of his stuff, which is kind of rare.
What was that? $10?
No. There's $10 a pack. But
I see. Okay. Did you eat all the bubble gum with it?
There's no bubble gum that comes
with
those things.
Okay, that's what you usually buy.
So I have a gallery featuring about 90 fantasy art prints in my basement.
That's cool.
The wife and I, no kids. What are we going to do with the basement? We finished it.
Yeah.
It's got the lighting system, and we did my first book release party there, and it's just fun. I walk through the basement,
that's
I see
right.
the cool art, and it literally inspires me to write.
I understand that. When I get out, I feel the same way when I write my movie scripts and I get out, one of my great movies like Jason and the Argonauts with Ray Harryhausen, Ray Harryhausen special effects, that stop motion stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Skeletons.
I get all jazzed. Figure out, how long ago that was? That's like 40 years ago he did that stuff. And it was exceptionally wonderful, amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we're going to do a little movie thing coming up. So I don't want to get Paul onto the movie track because he's a movie nut like the rest of us here at Sector 5 Radio. But let's talk about some of your other work. So remember, if you just joined us, Paul Jeunesse is an exceptionally wonderful author with his Iron Dragon series and a bunch of other stuff that he's done and is working on. And we could probably run the list by everybody, too, and we will before, you know, we're done here tonight. But he's a cardiac nurse at Intermountain Healthcare, and you also do something with dyslexia, too, right? What is it?
Well, a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, who I hang out with all the time, I found out that he had a dyslexia problem. And, you know, most of you know that's, you know, you transpose letters. There's actually many, many different kinds of dyslexia.
Yeah.
You know, and he was pushed through the system, you know, with this dyslexia and never got the help that he needed. You know, and it really messed him up. And there are just tons of kids out there. You know, somewhere around 20% of kids have dyslexia of some form or another.
Wow,
20%. It's amazing.
But isn't that helpful when you have 40 kids in a class and that really helps the education system make sure there's maximum number of students in the class per teacher for these kids?
Yeah, they're overwhelmed. And the truth is that teachers love – I love teachers. You know, they're my heroes. You know, I love teachers. They don't have the specialized training that it takes to recognize certain problems. They just, you know, it's, oh, this kid has he's got a learning problem, or he can't focus, or he's not good at reading, or he's not good at math, she's not good at this.
Yeah.
It's not that there's something wrong with the kid's, desire. They have this dyslexia problem. And if they are trained, tutored, educated on how to read and how to do their math and everything, suddenly they excel. And the winner of the Young Poet of Utah, I might have said the award wrong, but she was like the Junior Poet of Utah for last year. She was a young woman who had major dyslexia, and she fought with this, you know, for years and years and years. And she got special training, and she won this very prestigious award. And I listened to her recite her poem at the award ceremony. You know, the governor's wife came and presented it, and it was fantastic. You know, and that is so inspirational. And I ended up getting involved with Dyslexia Tutoring of Utah, which you can just, you know, type that in. It's the only not-for-profit dyslexia tutoring group in Utah, and they help a lot of kids. And I would hate to see those kids who want to read, and you know there's kids that want to read, but they just have trouble with it.
Oh, yeah, and so they just push it aside. It never gets accomplished, and they're frustrated, and everybody kind of thinks, they don't care. They don't like books. They don't, you know, but it's all misconception.
Isn't there a lot of over-prescribing of, like, Ritalin and other drugs that they just do to these kids?
I don't really have expertise in that particular area. I think probably there's maybe a little here or there over-prescription of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But What's underdiagnosed is the dyslexia problem, and if we can get the kids who's having a little trouble when they're young into the tutoring early and teach them strategies and how to combat it, suddenly they become this great student.
I think that's really cool. I think it's a great thing that you're doing. I really, you know, you brought up a point there, Proton Head. I do a lot of reading. I have medical newsletters that various doctors and stuff I subscribe to. It's really kind of weird, Paul. They make up diseases. It's like there's every year the guys get together and they go, okay, what new diseases do we have?
Exactly.
You know, they're trying to make up a disease now, I think. One of my latest newsletters, make up a disease about that women with reduced libidos, it's a disease. Oh,
right.
My, come on.
Right.
Come on, guys. So who? So somebody can make a pill?
Exactly.
I mean,
who's making the money?
I don't get it.
I'm all about following the money. Whenever something comes out, follow the money back. Who's profiting on it? Who's pushing it? Who's marketing it?
Yeah, and you know what? That's why I think the cool thing about what you said earlier about Intermountain and how it works and how it functions and how things work there, because they're there to help people, and it isn't about, you know, let's stick this guy for a $20,000 surgery, Hank.
Yeah, well, you know, the shareholders don't need to get paid because there aren't any shareholders.
There
so the money goes back into the system to help the patient.
That's great.
You know, and that's how I think all healthcare should be.
When it
gets that way, it's going to really help our system in the end.
Why weren't you in Washington telling everybody this? You should have been in Washington talking about this stuff before all this healthcare bill stuff going on. You should have been there. They should have called you.
I do my part.
One of the parts is that we've got, I was just reminded that we should be called, people should know our number, and that's 801-254-5855. Is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, as long as you want to bring it up. 801-254-5855.
We have lots of lines
there
open.
You go. And you can, if you feel the urge, just give us a call. If you're fascinated and just want to hear Paul talk, that's okay, too. But if you have a good question, maybe you do want to be a writer. You're welcome to ask a question about that. Okay, coming up in just a second, Right after the break on Sector 5 Radio tonight, we're going to get Paul into the movies. Big bucket of popcorn, and we're going to go see the brand new Predators movie. Is it good? Is it bad? What is it? AM 630 KTALK, KTALK-.com. Saturday night, Sector 5 Radio. I am Dickie Shannon. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. Today, everyone needs a computer. Where do you buy one? A big box store? No. Did you notice that so many of those huge chains are closing their stores? Do you buy from a small computer store? Nope. Here today, gone tomorrow. Okay, do you buy a computer off the internet? Nope. You don't want to mail your computer away to Chumbawamba for months and have no computer. If you want security, love, comfort, and peace of mind, get into PC Laptops. Our new desktop computers are covered forever with a lifetime labor and parts warranty. You've seen PC Laptops in the Inc. 500 and the Utah Best of State and just about everywhere over the last 16 years, so you know we rule. So if you want to feel the love and be happy and have complete peace of mind, get into any one of our PC Laptops 9 locations right now, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. And to make it extra fluffy, we're doing zero down, zero interest for up to a year on any new computer. OAC.
Interest is accrued during promotional period and minimum payment required.
PC Laptops, we love you.
Any contractor can sell a heating and cooling system. At Just Right Heating and Cooling, we install comfort systems. With a comfort system, every room is guaranteed to be the same comfortable temperature you desire throughout your home. A Just Right Heating and Cooling comfort system will assure you the maximum efficiency and capacity you deserve. You'll experience the highest air quality in your home without the drafts or stagnant air. Just Right Heating and Cooling is air balance certified by the National Balancing Institute. We're the perfectionists in the sale of the heating and cooling equipment and installation. There is no substitute. Before you regret the purchase of an inferior system, you'll want to compare the Just Right Heating and Cooling comfort system. Quality and service guaranteed, unmatched in the industry. Call today for a free, no obligation introduction to the comfort system. 801-295-2066. Our knowledgeable, friendly representatives will gladly provide you with an estimate. 801-295-2066.
And now we return to Sector 5.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Woo-hoo! That's Buck Wild.
Well, I bet you I'm gonna
okay. Thank you. Ringo leading the Beatles on Act Naturally Perfect because they're going to put him in the movies, everybody. And it's 9:46 now at Dickie Shannon. Beautiful night. I'll tell you what, we got a beautiful night in Salt Lake City. And I hope it's nice where you are if you're listening at k-talk.com and not AM 630. Please enjoy yourself tonight. We are going to go to the movies. And, you know, right up there with one of our favorite topics every week on Sector 5 Radio, Paul is, by the way, Paul Jeunesse, the author, Iron Dragon series, everybody, as well as many other things which we'll cover before the end of this hour. But let's get out to the movies. I want to ask you, before we get to the Predators thing, I want to ask you, you know, one of my favorite movies now of all time.
Avatar. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, actually, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I tell everybody, though, and it's coming back. They're re-releasing it, by the way, with 8 minutes additional footage.
Wow. Is that called The Search for More Money?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Let's make some more money on Avatar. It already is the biggest grossing movie of all time, but let's make some more. And I recommend to everybody, when it does come out, we're going to say on Sector 5, you must go see it if you haven't seen it, even if you bought the DVD and watched it, because while the DVD is enjoyable, 3D big screen is the only way to watch Avatar.
IMAX.
That's really true. Because it doesn't even come close. You have those stupid glasses if you have a 3D TV. It doesn't work the same as being at the...
I saw it twice at the IMAX, and it was fantastic with the awesome glasses that they have to, like, security so you don't escape with them. And I saw it once at the crappy theater with the crappy glasses, and it was still good, but not as good. So if you're going to see a 3D movie ever and drop the $9 or $10 or whatever it is, you know, do it, make it Avatar, people.
Well, this is the one to see, right? If you had to choose a 3D movie, you know, I can't afford those glasses. Well, this is the one you save up for. Turn in the aluminum cans, you know, break the piggy bank, whatever, because this is worth it.
Totally.
This is actually worth it. And again, it's a totally immersive experience because of the nature of how Cameron did the movie.
Yeah, you can quibble about the story or whatever, you know, maybe I don't like this, I don't like that, but my God, we went to an alien world and we were there and we saw it and it was so real.
You are really there. You are really, really there. Okay. So, all right, that's great. Enough Avatar. They already made enough money, as Captain Proton pointed out. However, go with when it comes out, which is pretty soon, by the way. The Predators movie, the new one. Now, you know what? Predators, original Predator, liked it a lot. Had Arnold. And that was one of those movies that kind of came along as a surprise, kind of like, you know, it was the first one. You didn't really know what a
Jesse
Predator
Ventura was. Jesse Ventura
was
in it. He
had one of the all-time best lines, Jesse Ventura. I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah, like that. See, I like those tough guy movies. They always come up with really good dialogue like that. So what happened, it sort of kind of devolved. And they kept making, you know, Predators meets Aliens.
AVP
aliens,
was good, though.
AVP was good?
Was good compared to Predators, Alien, well, Predators 2.
We'll just briefly cover those as well, but
yeah,
let's focus on the new one.
New Predators now, okay, it's kind of, does it have a B action thriller kind of monster movie?
I'd say that it's A-plus action movie. My overall review is B-plus.
Okay.
But it's a cool shoot-em-up action movie. If you enjoyed the original Predator, and if you liked any of the ones, you will like most of this movie because it's got all the elements that are there. But the problem with the franchise, it's kind of like a dead goat, okay? When the goat's dead, all right, you don't get a lot of milk out of it, okay?
No, you know, I've noticed that.
You don't. You just don't. Because when Predator came out in 87, we didn't know what
it's
the
been that
Predators
long
were.
It's that yeah. long ago, wow.
That was it. That was it. We didn't know what they were. It was like these guys in the jungle and there's something killing them. And you're like, huh? You know, and we see from its point of view, and there's these, you know, infrared images and, you know, this cool, language and
new.
The weapons, and it's jumping in the trees, and it's invisible, and oh my God. You know, it had an impact on my life. But then, you know, you get to the second one, and I like the second one, actually. You know, and then Alien versus Predator, I think they destroyed it, and more on that in a second. But now we're to Predators, 2010, you know, directed by a Hungarian guy named Antal, who did a good job, I thought. And then Robert Rodriguez, this is the guy who did Sin City and From Dusk Till Dawn, so Grindhouse. So you can kind of imagine, you know, where he's coming from.
Yeah.
So we get this shoot-em-up movie with laughable dialogue, which is, I think they meant it to be funny. I think that was the idea. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, right.
Put, the F word is a noun, a verb, an adjective, and a participle, a dangling participle. Everything.
We're doing R here then.
It's an R-rated movie.
That's an R. Okay.
One of my friends said it wasn't gory enough. I thought it was gory enough.
How can an R Predator movie not be gory enough? I don't understand that. But you say it is. I won't take your word for it.
It's good. It's got a lot of good stuff. Yeah. But once again, we know what the Predators are now. Okay.
Right.
We know what they are. We kind of know what their modus operandi is. We get that. So you can't really surprise us with that. What they did in this movie is they spun in a different direction. You know, and this is just a tiny, tiny spoiler. A different kind of Predator, a little different kind of Predator. Now, you know, we find out more, which is not in the books. And by the way, I've read every Alien versus Predator, Alien or Predator book.
How many is that?
I don't know.
Read Aliens versus Batman, though, or Predator versus Batman. See, if you're a comic book and you're a geek, then you get to.
I did not read those.
Stop,
no,
please.
I read the novels and some of the graphic novels.
But this is different.
They changed it. Okay. They set up the franchise to go in a little different direction, which is really, really cool. And we can quibble about a lot of things, but overall, it was a pretty solid movie. The dialogue's kind of iffy, and then the choice of the main actor, Adrian Brody.
Brody, yeah.
Who's a fantastic Academy Award-winning actor from The Piano. He was in King Kong. He's done a lot of stuff. They sent him a role. I saw an interview with him, and it wasn't the main guy. It was a different role. And he said, whoa, 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 I'd like to play the lead. And they said, whoa, really? You skinny, old, you know, Jewish guy, big nose, you want to play the lead?
That's my impression, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So what they did with Iron Man, but okay.
And he said, I was not their first choice, but, you know, he convinced them. And if I had never seen an Adrian Brody movie, it would have been better. Because I know what his voice sounds like. And he's got kind of a little bit higher pitched.
Whiny.
A little whinier voice. You know, I mean, in the piano, he almost had no dialogue. You remember? It's in the Academy Award movie. He's like this Jewish guy roaming around these burned out buildings. And almost no dialogue. But anyway, when you hear his voice in other movies, you're like, yeah, that's Adrian Brody's voice.
Okay.
So now he's this action hero. And he's like,
tough guy.
Okay, guys, we got to go here or we're going to get killed. You know, and you're thinking, that's not his real voice.
So they Batmaned his voice.
He Batmaned his voice.
He did it himself.
And I'm sure the director had a hand in it. And if I had never seen another Adrian Brody movie, I would have been cool with it. But since I'd seen other movies, it made me kind of do a double take. And it took me a long time to get into it. And I think he did a good job. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay?
Was perfect.
Adrian Brody. Yeah. It's very different.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't. In my head, I can't hear Brody's voice anyway, so I probably wouldn't notice it.
Then you might dig it. I'd like to hear some other people's opinions on this. If anybody wants to call in and let us know.
Okay. Well, anytime you want to call in, by the way, just so you know, anytime when you're just not totally, you know, busy on Saturday night, 801-254-5855 is our number. And we're with Paul Jeunesse here. Iron Dragon series. I promised to cover all the other stuff you read at night. So we've got, 4 minutes or so for this hour. So let's cover some of the other things you've written. Tell us all about it.
Well, I've had the two novels out, got the 5-book series, and then I've sold like 11 or 12 short stories, most of them with major publishers, Daw Books. You can go to my website, pauljeunesse.com, G-E-N-E-S-S-E. PaulJeunesse.com, and you can read samples of all of those. I write in a lot of different genres. I've never submitted a story. Writers hate me for this. Editors just email me or call me and say, will you please write a story for my collection?
You're kidding.
I know,
really?
I know. Yeah.
They call you?
Well, they email me usually.
All right, friends. Now you know who you want to make buddies. You want to make friends with, Paul. So editors call you.
It's really about who you know. I mean, as soon as I established myself a little bit, somebody read a novel, started getting in touch with me, and then they knew, you know, I kind of like his stuff. You know, I feel That's like cool. I do a pretty good short story. They're long. I write long short stories. They're not short. But, you know, I've written pirate stories and animal stories and dark fantasy and Twilight Zone kind of stuff. And
It goes
all over. And most steampunk, I wrote a steampunk story recently.
You wrote a steampunk, really?
I love it. The Nubian Queen. It's like alternate history, 1800s.
Cool.
You know, the Battle of Actium when Cleopatra and Octavian Caesar, you know, duked it out, Mark Antony, history. And in my story, they won. And Alexandria became the center of the world, and they crushed the Roman Empire. And now we are, you know, 1,800 years later, and we see the results of this and how the world is different. And the ice caps have covered Europe.
I love that.
You know, and it's a different history. It was so fun to write it, and I want to do the novel.
Well, speaking about novels, have you ever thought about talking to the Last Airbender people and writing them a nasty ground? I'll type it up if you'll sign it, because they stripped out all the good stuff, dialogue, whatever. I mean, have you ever thought, as a writer, you have to talk to somebody?
I read the best negative review of The Last Airbender on Facebook, and was linked to it. The best negative review ever. I'll see if it's on my Facebook page. I'm pretty sure if you look back a couple days.
Paul Jeunesse. How do we spell your name, just by the way?
G-E-N-E-S-S-E. It's like finesse, except with a G-E. So it's not my fault. I inherited it, okay?
All right, I love that. Okay, so we covered just about everything Paul does here this hour. Hopefully you got to hear a bunch of it. We only have a couple of minutes left, and so I want to try to touch on the fact that you are Michelle will talk about her experience Friday, but you are a ghost guy. You like doing the ghost thing.
I put ghosts in most of my stories and novels. I'm really interested in ghosts.
Love the spirit world, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, spirity kind of stuff going on. The main character in the first book is literally haunted. You know, and actually two of the characters in the book are haunted by their past. And
that's excellent.
So I've like gone on several paranormal investigations and had some pretty crazy experiences with Wasatch Paranormal Investigators,
Tom Carr.
You know, who's, I think, is going to be a guest on your show eventually. He's
eventually
fantastic.
That's exactly what's going to happen with Tom. Absolutely.
So I'm very interested in that.
I can't. What's the book he has out? Because he wrote a book.
Talking to Myself in the Dark. You can pick it up on Amazon. It's very, very good.
Is it about like do-it-yourself paranormal or what?
If you want to run a paranormal investigation, this is what you do. It's a how-to book. It's like 93 pages.
Okay.
It's really, really good. It's got a lot of his personal experiences at the end, but most of it is just how to set up a team, how to run an investigation. And, you know, Tom has been invited to go to the site of the Titanic sinking and do this documentary.
Get out of here, really?
So, yeah, he's leaving. I think he just left or something to go. Or actually got pushed back a few days. But anyway, he's going to go out to the Atlantic and do a paranormal investigation where the ship went down. And then they're going to go to the cemeteries where lots and lots of the people were buried and investigate those.
And now, how, you know, Paul, how does he do that? How do you do a paranormal investigation with a ship that's how deep is it there? It's pretty far down.
It's way down.
It's way down.
A couple miles, isn't it?
Yeah, it's whatever. Feet. It's a long way down there. How do you do that?
He's going to write a book about this experience. I'm not sure exactly all that they're going to do, okay. And I wonder if they're going to get anything, you know, on the water like that. You know, they were going to try to go into the water and get in some lifeboats and do stuff, but, like, the weather might be too bad for that.
Yeah.
I think at the cemeteries when they go to Nova Scotia, or is it Newfoundland? I can't remember. One of those two.
Okay.
I think they're going to get something there.
Okay. Is that a follow-up to a lot of the folks who were supposedly on board? Is that where they're going, to that cemetery?
Yeah, they buried a lot of the people there.
Okay.
They had to. A lot of, you know, steerage, you know, who are they?
Back
we don't know.
There was a lot of people. Nobody knew who
nobody
they were.
Knew.
Sure. Wow. Okay. And then there's all those people. Hey, we saw the whole thing, didn't we? We saw it on the movies. We saw the Titanic. We saw it sink. James Cameron sunk the Titanic. So there was all those people that had to scoop out of the water, wasn't there?
Horrible. You know, when there's a lot of bad emotions, you can get spirit activity. And I used to work at LDS Hospital.
Yeah.
Very haunted.
Ooh, there's a tip for us. Thank you. Paul Jeunesse is going to hang around a little bit, and we have another special guest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll introduce her to you right after the news at the top of the hour. I am Dickie Shannon. You're listening to Sector 5 Radio on AM 630 K-Talk or ktalk.com. Well, that's a K-Talk.com. Okay. Thanks for listening tonight. Be right after the newscast here in just a second, everybody. Hold on, because here comes CNN. Come on.
CNN Radio in Rio de Paris made an emergency landing in eastern Brazil Saturday night due to a bomb threat. All the passengers and crew were safely evacuated. Officials are still examining the plane. Excessive heat.